Hello, and welcome to this week's Irish Woes podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, this week, top of the agenda are the Leeds and the Arsenal games from last week. A mixed bag of results and mixed reaction from the guys as to their thoughts on the game. This week I have Johnny Pearl, Mick McQuillan, Tony Cullen, and myself to chat about the week. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, Tony.
Good evening, Mick. How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Grand. Not a bother. Yeah. Back on babysitting duties this morning, so... After yesterday, it wasn't exactly a great timing.
No. It was a bit of mess of the game yesterday, was it? A bit of old aggro.
The shells. Well, I mean, 4-0 down wasn't the best circumstances, but no, it was behind the goal, the usual singing gang. But the FAI organised the tickets in that way that they have cheaper behind the goal, that, you know, the singing elements of the club gathered there. So I had loads of the usual flares. The Derry lads had flares as well before the game. There was fucking smoke all over the place. But there's about 10 or 15 minutes to go, and of course Shell's lads had flares and they were bored at that stage, so they started throwing them onto the pitch. Yeah, they were going on into the goal, you know, the goal and everything, you know. So I mean, the front seats, to show you how fucking dopey they are, the front seats were covered. I don't know what the reason was, but all around the front four or five rows were covered, and they had all their flags on them. Of course, some of the flares that were being thrown were landing on the flags, born on their own flags, like, you know. So that's about what you're dealing with, you know. So you know, like, but I know it's like it was stupid, you know. And I mean, there was loads. There was three or four. I was down at the corner, so there were three or four guards, you know, jumped in when it was all over, like, you know. And they went running up into them. They must have just picked one fella and dragged him out or something. But that was it. But I mean, it was a decent game. But Shells weren't really up to it. You know, once it went 2-0, you thought early in the second half if they got a goal, they might get back into it. But once it went 3, that was it. You know.
And the story, yeah.
Yeah, but it's great. When you think of the bad old days, like, I mean, there was 32. They announced 32,500 at it. You know. So I mean, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant crowd. Like, they've got over 30,000 now for the last, I'd say, last 3 or 4 years. But it seems to be a great occasion now. I mean, a lot of kids there, a lot of families, a lot of clubs, you know, a lot of say local soccer clubs, half a dozen kids or whatever, and a couple of adults, you know. So I mean, they've really pushed it. Mind you, I was a bit stroppy. I got onto my man that organised my season ticket. I said to him, it's typical of the FAI. It's you know, we were getting the cup final tickets and the under-21s and the women's matches for the last 10 years. You know, you get them for free. They even give you a premium ticket for the cup final as part of the season ticket. And lo and behold, then, as soon as we're getting big crowds and it becomes popular now, we had to buy them, same as everyone else, like, you know.
Yeah.
No reward. So, I mean, that's 70 or 80 quid's worth gone off your tickets, you know. So they tell you down, they're not putting the prices up. So, anyway, yeah. Good evening, Tony. Good evening, Johnny.
Evening, lads, how are we?
It's nice to start off with a moan. We normally spend a half an hour doing it, but I said I'd start off with my own moan anyway this evening. So that was a cup final yesterday I was talking about. So
there was a good crowd there too.
Yeah, 22,500 was very good, yeah.
Yeah. But not a great game.
No. The atmosphere was affected by the scores, you know, so
yeah.
Say, and a big dirty crowd there. I was in the corner between the west and south. And I mean, over even the top tier of the East Stand was fairly full now, you know, which you wouldn't normally
see. Good to see.
Hopefully. A lot of flares went off, didn't there?
Huh?
A lot of flares went off.
Yeah, I was just saying to Mick there, yeah, a lot of them, set them off. Shells fans, towards the end of the game, just set them off and start throwing them on the pitch and all that, you know, so.
I see McLean there. He wasn't wearing his old shamrock. Or it's Poppy.
Well, he was wearing a Derry jersey. He probably was. You just couldn't see it, you know, it being red and all that. There's probably a little black dot on it somewhere, you know. Anyway, listen, we're not going to get in. We're not going to get down that road. that's for other clubs and people to talk about. Anyway, but Gary mentioned he couldn't be here tonight. I invited Mr. Lindsay, but I heard nothing. Tony, I thought Rosie was going to join us now to talk about her first experience at Molyneux on Saturday.
She's Megan Shepherd's boy.
Megan, dinner. I've just had my dinner there.
Okay. Is she an earshot?
Sitting down thinking.
If she's not an earshot, I can call her the Jinx after Saturday.
Downstairs, yeah.
Just, come on, anybody here? It was just Noel and Paul, Noel McKinnon and Paul put up messages even that they booked flights for Gillingham based on what was on the Wolves app. And I, that's been on it. I said to them it's been on it since the draw was made in the fixtures. But I was just looking there a while ago. Sky have announced the games that are on the that they're covering. So there's four games. The fixtures they put out were down for Tuesday. There's one game live on the Tuesday, and the rest of the games, and then there's a game on Wednesday and two on Wednesday and one on Thursday or somewhere like that. So I don't know whether it's safe enough to go ahead and book them.
Are we live on Sky? Are we?
No. But you know the way they moved the Leeds game from Tuesday to Wednesday,
yeah.
Even though it wasn't on telly. So. I don't know. Wolves haven't issued news on their site to say that the match has been confirmed. There's nothing on the ticket site. I saw somewhere, I think I saw somewhere else that it's to be decided. You know, it's down for Tuesday, but to be decided. So I don't know. Maybe just play it by ear.
Yeah, it's a bit early yet to do what you know.
Mm. Well, the flights are flight back. I think it's something like 50 quid or something at the moment. Flight back on Wednesday. Yeah. So there's a flight at 7:20 in the morning. Mick might be attractive. It's only 15 quid.
Next hour and a half in bed. Compared to last Sunday.
In bed or on a seat. But anyway, come here. We're starting with the Leeds game. We've no problems getting over anyway. Should we be there? And we had a good crew. I'm just saying we had Ken and his grandson. We had Rasher and Paul and Noel from Belfast were there as well. So we just had, I suppose, the travel been easy compared to usual. The game itself, it was kind of nice to get a break from the league and get a cup game in where, what would you say, we've nothing to lose. Particularly the way we're playing late, the results we've been getting lately. Mick, what do you think of the game?
Oh, I thought it was a decent enough game. I know Leeds had a few changes. We had six ourselves. It was good to see Colin, get a run and Joe, I thought they'd done quite well. But look, it's always nice to get a win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it puts us in the last 16. Great chance of getting into the quarterfinals of us, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, so in that sense, it was good, for all the work they've been doing lately and getting nothing, it was good to get a reward at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I thought that was the biggest thing, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting from Lopetegui's point of view. We'll talk about him. Before we finish, but you know, like that. Well, I mean, Sarkic was probably always going to be in goal anyway, being the reserve keeper for the League Cup. But it was nice to see. I'm gonna try it, Mick. I won't let you have a go at it. But it's great to say Lambasika, is it, Johnny?
I just call him Dexter. I just call him by his first name. I don't even try to get involved in the second
game. But yeah, it was great to see him. He was only a few minutes on, but I thought he really settled himself in very well. Tony, what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it was good to get the win first and foremost, and even more so when we saw who we got in the next round. We should have a real chance of getting through to the next round, but touch wood. But yeah, I thought the game was good. I think we, apart from the first 10 minutes where Leeds had, you know, a couple of really good chances and the goalie pulled off a couple of good saves.
Yeah.
We pretty much controlled most of the first half. But, you know, even the two good saves that he did make, he flapped around a little bit as well. Yeah. So he was, you know, he pulled off that header that he saved. He pushed up in the air, like it was a great save.
And he got up as well,
where he was kind of flapping at the ball another place. And yeah. Some of his kickouts weren't great. But somebody said he's not actually that tall. I don't know what height he is, but...
I thought he was the usual.
Probably was a bit nervous, but
yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
Yeah, that way I think we pretty much controlled the game in the first half, and then the second half we started off fairly good, and then Leeds kind of took over. I think, and some of the substitutions we made kind of disrupted us a good bit. The flow kind of went out of the game.
Yeah,
I could see going to penalties, and then it was a great goal, great break. Yeah. I think Podence made a difference when he came on. I thought Hodge played really well.
Yeah, Ronan probably looked a little bit lost. Not lost, but I mean, you know, he seemed to pick up his position, you know, now and again, but he seemed to struggle with what his role was in the team. But nonetheless,
I think their subs made more of an impact than ours.
I suppose too. They started with a few kind of younger lads or non-first team players, I suppose, with you. Plus Ayling, who was a right pain in the side, for want of a different area to pick. I think he was out to annoy all the Wolves fans, I think, on the night. He was doing all sorts of things to cause disruption. Yeah. Johnny, what were your thoughts on the Leeds game?
Similar to the lads, really. It kind of, being brutally honest about it, I'd say it just lacked a bit of quality. Didn't lack fight, didn't lack running. Like, the boys worked hard. Hodge was good in midfield. But all in all, it just took that one bit of quality to kind of say that from a lad that's kind of really been our only positive in the last few weeks, I would say. Like, Traore is turned out to be a real, real find for the price we got. It was good to get a clean sheet. I haven't had many of those recently. When you looked at the draw and you got Gillingham and you seen Liverpool and City, you just kind of start thinking, right, we beat Gillingham and then who knows where it goes from there, you know? It's just good. It was really good just to have a bit of positivity and not come out of the game not losing or drawing.
Yeah, and it gives the new man a great opportunity to, you know, for his first game to be playing Gillingham in the Cup. A dry run for the Everton game.
Yeah, like if we beat Gillingham and then I presume the draw will be that evening, you get a good draw on that.
You beat
or draw against Everton, all of a sudden, there's a feel-good factor, you know, and that's how easy football changes these days.
Yeah, it was funny actually, the draw, because I was texting the lads, you know, you had to suffer through the United Villa game being dissected,
I don't know.
And all the way through, and then we're the first name out of the feckin' hat when it does happen. I think a lot of people had given up before the draw.
I don't know why they just didn't do it straight after the game. Like, it was the only reason people were looking at the game. No one cared about the United Villa analysis. Like, but yeah, I don't know. I presume if they had just done it, people would have just turned off straight away. So maybe on that part, they done it well for them, you know.
Yeah, I suppose afterwards we knew from Saturday that John McGee was going to accommodate us after the game with in his place. So we were there till midnight, Mick, or after midnight?
It was after midnight, I think, yeah.
Back to Red Wings then for the night cap, and all fairly reasonable, 2 o'clock. You were up at, what time did you have us all awake at, Mick? 6, was it?
Oh, it wasn't me now, Tony. Tony's alarm was off first. Tony's alarm fucked up. Don't blame me.
I
was at the 3 matches in 1 week a week, or did he all in one day? I spent more time in the feckin' airport and train stations.
We talk about that after the Arsenal game, right? Jeez, we leave it at that. I was saying, actually, I was telling you, my cousin, last year I had a bet with my cousin that he's a Leeds fan, you know. Whoever finished behind the other one in the league last year bought the points, you know. So next time we went out, so of course we finished ahead of them. So he said, same bet this season. I says, yeah, grand. So he's been doing well. And then what did he do on Wednesday morning? He texts me, he says, tonight, double or quits. So he says, okay. So there you are. So I can only win from now on. that was good. A good double bonus. We had a kind of a very civilised Saturday then, heading over for the Arsenal game. Afternoon, a nice pint in Dublin Airport. Tony had Rosie with him, so her first experience of Molyneux and travelling over, and Mick as well, yeah.
It was decent enough. A nice bit of a meal and John's for a pint or two, and then down to the game, you know.
Yeah, just saying that lad we met in the airport that we ended up sitting beside, you saying he's from Cork, was he? The Wolves fella, Mick, that we met.
That's Runavelli, yeah. That was from, he came up he was flying back into Cork, that's what it was.
Yeah. No, it's just, we seem to meet a lot of lads lately who we wouldn't know them, but they, you know, over the years we've never come across them, and seem to be a lot more Wolves lads travelling over now that we wouldn't be aware of in the club and that, you know, so it's nice to see.
That's true, Tony. There was at least, I suppose, in the last 3 games we went to there, there's a good 8 or 10 lads anyway that we you know, that got talking to her.
Yeah, there was a few young lads there yesterday morning as well, that coming home.
Yeah.
That we hadn't seen before, but yeah, it's nice to see. Hopefully, we'll be signing them up soon. Just as we were saying, we had our usual McGee and all that, but the game itself, then Arsenal. Johnny, what? I assume you watched the whole game and.
Yeah, the lineup came out five at the back. I wasn't against it because, look, I think if we played four at the back, Odegaard would have ripped us apart, you know. So in that aspect, I wasn't too disappointed. I knew that we wouldn't get as many chances as we would playing four at the back, but it was kind of just contained and then hit on the break. And then for me, the game hinges on the decision in the ninth minute. The linesman doesn't put up his flag. It's a penalty and it's a red card. All of a sudden, we're 1-0 up playing against 10 men, which is disappointing, because when you are where we are, you need a bit of luck. We were always going to need a bit of luck against Arsenal, because...
Just on that, Johnny, did the referee actually blow the whistle when he put the flag up, or was it after?
No. It was your man thought, so the phase of play went on and then he put up the flag when Guedes touched the ball, which means VAR couldn't get involved. So even if they did deem it as a foul, which is clear it was, VAR couldn't intervene because you know the way linesmen are instructed not to put the flag up, to let it go.
Yeah.
And I just found it so weird that... Like, it was tight, so why would you put your flag up?
Yeah.
First half was good. Moutinho, again, for me, passenger, couldn't get near anyone midfield.
Yeah.
But Traore and Neves were really good. Guedes and Adam are kind of living off scraps. Back five was good, was solid. And really, there wasn't much in the first half.
No.
Second half, it's just a brilliant ball by... It's a brilliant ball by Jesus into the path, and after that, it was always going to be very, very hard to get back into the game.
Yeah,
we hoped we puffed as per usual, but just no quality in the final third, which has just been the story of the season, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I mean I've been criticizing Guedes a lot anytime he's been playing lately, but you know, I mean, Jesse, I'd like to think somebody of all the chat, I think what he had four or five opportunities where he was clean through, but it just seems to be throughout the team this thing of trying to burst the net. Even Podence had it. Was it Traore tipped the ball out to Podence near the end, and he blasted it over the bar. You know, we just seem to haven't got that kind of
a lot of it is though just to do with confidence, Tony. Like I seen Collins kind of took a bit of a bashing on social media. He's 21, like his confidence is shot because the club are on 10 points and everyone is just giving out. Same with Kilman, he's young. And it's just, like, I don't like to bang on about it, but it's for me, it all comes down to the owners, how they left. Like, Davies is a great lad, club legend, and I have nothing against him but it's clear that he's not good enough. And for us to leave him in charge for that long, I just think it's shambolic. And it's shambolic for a team that, like the team, the quality in the team, like we have six players going to a World Cup.
Yeah.
It's a shambles that we're on 10 points, to be perfectly honest. And we find ourselves in a relegation scrap.
Yeah. I was just thinking with the change on Saturday to five at the back, was that Lopetegui's influence saying, you know, you want to try that?
I wouldn't think so, because I think he usually plays is 4-3-3, because I was reading Steve Davis's press conference and he said we have a plan.
Yeah.
And I presume the plan was I have to start Semedo here, so I'm not going to do, because if you've let Semedo one on one with Martinelli, fuck me, it would have been a long night, you know.
Yeah. And I just kind of
it was a short night.
Either way you want to look at it just wouldn't have been enjoyable.
It's kind of just seems to be the stage that we're, you know, we're so close in most games, you know, we're so close to getting something over, and something fucking conspires to fucking make sure we don't, you know. The lack of VAR in the first half or whatever, and you know, unlucky. And then, I mean, I said it to Mick, the lads, afterwards, it was a pity Lambasica was trying to be a little bit clever on the right hand side for the second goal, and you know, he tried to kick it out off the player, but those sort of things.
You wouldn't really give out about him because, look, the lad is young, and that's just a mistake he's going to make, you know.
going back to the ninth minute then, if that ref, it was Atwell, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he'd have given the penalty, then VAR would have got involved.
But it wouldn't have mattered because the linesman put the flag up.
He hadn't, Johnny, he hadn't.
He put the flag up
after the incident in the penalty box. The penalty should have been awarded.
It
was well discussed, and they went through the whole lot, what you call it. And the thing was, referee number one was 3 yards behind the line of play. The linesman.
Yeah.
And when that ball was put in, it was never offside. There wasn't a flag for that. It's when the ball went into the box, the flag went.
Yeah.
VAR should have looked at it. The first thing they were to look at then was it offside? They said they looked at that and it wasn't offside. So then it goes on to the next. They took it with the referee. They stand with the referee that it wasn't a foul in the box. That's what VAR said.
Because with the linesman flagging, Johnny, that's why I was asking earlier on, did the ref blow the whistle? Because the flag doesn't really mean anything until the whistle goes.
No, I get that, but they said it on Sky Sports News after that if he does put it up, then VAR can't intervene.
But he didn't put the flag up until the incident in the box. Actually, he hadn't stopped any play. Look, it went through, everyone that was in the studio there, I've watched it two or three times, and what you call it, even on that match of the day, they said the same thing. The goal, it should have been a penalty. Mike Dean, agreed with the referee that it wasn't a penalty.
When does VAR kick in if there's a goal-scoring opportunity missed?
The referee blew the whistle.
The problem was they spent 5 seconds on the decision on the penalty instead of going through the different slides on it.
I don't actually think VAR looked at it at all.
Hmm. No, the VAR they looked at the thing and where from Mike Dean's thing was no, it wasn't a penalty. That's they done it in about 5 seconds. I'd agree. They didn't spend any time on it. But they said it wasn't offside. That was number one. That was the main point. But then it should have been a penalty. That was the story.
Yeah, what do you think of the game, Mick? Yeah.
Well, I thought he set up the team properly. I still go back to 3 or 5 at the back. I thought Semedo was outstanding in the first half. As a wing-back as he is, as Guaino on the far side, they marked the two wide men completely out of the game. And, you know, our problems arose in the second half is when Martinelli went inside in the right hand side of the middle, and it was Matinho, I think, missed the challenge, and that's where the goal started from, because he got away from Semedo. Later on in the game, in Semedo's he was limping because he got a bad bang there off his own player. I remember the shooter, and it went way into his back.
Yeah,
and that. So you know, I thought he had a fantastic game. He did a great job of Martinelli. We actually blunted Arsenal with two wide men. They couldn't get it. Yeah, we got the grips of the game there, I thought we'd done quite, quite well. There wasn't a lot in the game.
No,
definitely I'd agree with. If we'd have got that penalty, they wouldn't have got at us. That's what I firmly believe. And I thought, Traore, as the game went on, the lad got better, although the young fellow was badly at fault for not putting the ball over the sideline.
Yeah.
He was badly at fault for losing his man twice in the penalty box.
Mm.
For the second goal, but look at the young fellas, and they're only getting in there. You can expect that when you play the top sides in the league, you get punished when you make mistakes.
The simplest, mistakes against the ordinary team.
But the other thing too, which we didn't lie down, and it looked, but we still tried to keep playing football and things like that. Now, I was very, very happy though, and again I'll go on. I thought, what Tig was saying about Davies, I thought that's a load of bollocks. Because I'll put it to you, we haven't been scored many goals. But we've got 5 goals the last 6-7 games.
Yeah,
which we haven't been doing.
We conceded more, Mick.
Hold on.
We conceded more as well, Mick. You know, it's about scoring more than the opposition to win a game.
Tony,
you know,
Tony, I didn't interfere when you were talking, so let me finish.
I'm just clarifying.
I'm throwing in a point here. Let me go through it. Okay.
Yeah, I just didn't want to forget before you
come on. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. When we played, what do you call it, in our place, Brighton, last year. They beat us 3-0.
Yeah.
We played, 3-2. We played Leeds, got beaten at home. We played Leeds. I'm just comparing what the two managers done. We beat Leeds this time, okay? What do you call it? We went up and we got a goal as well. What do you call it? We drew away with Brentford. No, so to say to himself, I don't take that. Now, last Saturday.
Last season we bet Brentford.
Which?
Last season we bet Brentford away.
Which, yeah, fair enough. Just talking about the ones we played so far. That was a draw. Only in the last couple of weeks we scored. That's what my main point on that one was. But, what do you call it? He said, if you listen to his interview after the game, what do you call it, Davies, and he said he thought about playing with that system for the last couple of games. But the problem was, Coty Gomez was injured. So what he said was, and Tom was very telling, we didn't have the players to balance us out to play that system.
Yeah.
With Gomez out. Okay, so that's number one. Now, Lopetegui was interviewed, and he was asked, what do you call it? He was interviewed on the pitch, and he was asked a few things and the question about what he play. And all he said was, he said, we'll see what players we have, and that will dictate what way we play. And that, to me, was brilliant, because the other clown was there before. He was telling, he was playing 4-4-2. And he didn't have the players to play. Now, we're in the mess we're in now, because, as I said all along, we left that fella in too long. But the mess there, Mick has done a very good job, in my opinion.
Hold on a second.
He's done a good job there, Mick, Davies.
Forget about it. We hear every week about the mess that was left behind and all that. Like, you know, it's every week. But on the matches you mentioned, right, Leeds was a League Cup game. Yeah. They played half a dozen under-23s, number one.
We had six changes.
I'm looking at them. I don't class that. It was a nice game to get in the cup. And the Brentford game, as Johnny said, we beat Brentford away last year 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, the Brighton game, the only difference this year is our goal difference is different. You know, we scored two goals. But Mick, as I said to you, and when you started talking there, you gave three games as examples. I mean, the bottom line is, if we're scoring 10 goals, we have to make sure the opposition are scoring less.
You know, and
it doesn't matter. But, you know, we've conceded a lot of goals in the last half a dozen games. We still haven't been scoring. So it was nice to see five at the back. Mick, it was nice to see five at the back.
We scored five, Tony. And what I'm saying to you, the reason we haven't been able to shut up shop, because the previous clown soul are fucking defenders.
Mick, but like, you look at Cody. Everton aren't doing the best. Like, you know what I mean? They're 16th. They had a bust up with their... Cody wouldn't change anything with our...
No, what you don't know is the problem we have at the back of the net, as you said yourself there a few minutes ago, the young fellas, what you call it, the confidence is on the floor. The few lads at the back. And I said that would happen if things didn't go right. What you call it? The lad is only 21, so we need to play. And so he's... When we see together again, Leeds last week, they peppered us in the first couple of minutes to try and get a quick goal, because we didn't have, with a lack of height in defence. And fair play, we scrambled it for the first 3 or 4 minutes and got over that.
Yeah.
But don't blame the lad that's in there. I think he's done a fantastic job. Not only has he done a fantastic job, he's brought, what you call it, Hugo Baino in there, who looks just like a star. As your man said, Smith said, commentating, he says, why has it taken Wolves so long to put this player into the team? Okay, that's what he said in life. He brought in Hodge out of nowhere, and he wasn't afraid to throw him in. Young fella didn't moan, threw him in there. He brought in, what you call it, Conor Rowan. But he also brought in Lambert, whatever. And he wasn't afraid to throw him in there. He threw in also, what you call it, the young fella, Barbara Traore. And like, they're five or six players. He's had to throw him in there. And during this time, now we can slide that we weren't getting the results, but I'm going to tell you something. Even if we had, what's called it, it would have been hard to win those games. But what we did do, we gave a number of these players game time, and they're improving. And we looked the other day against Arsenal, and we looked over the last 15, 20 minutes, when Babacan Traore got the run in the midfield, that he looks an absolutely outstanding. But with the other fella there, he would never have been on the fucking pitch.
Mick, I think what Johnny's point is, and I tend to agree with him, what people seem to have lost sight of is, what's gone on in the last 2 months in the club has been a shambles.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. I mean, you had the manager sacked, and, you know, people tend to forget as the week or two go by, you know, the summary of the last 6 weeks They sacked Bruno start of October. They had Lopetegui signed up, supposedly, ready to come in. Bought players and all. No sign of him. Oh, he's not coming in. They scrambled around looking for every Tom, Dick and Harry to come in and manage the club. They couldn't get anyone. So then we leave Davis there. And Davis is in. He's doing the best job he can do. But, like, you know, there's no doubt.
Tony.
No. Let Johnny. Let Mickey. You had your say. Hold on. Let Johnny have a say.
I did, Johnny.
Let Johnny have a say.
That's bullshit you're talking about.
No, it's not, Mick. It's fucking. It's fact, Mick. If you look it up, look it up.
You look it up.
I did.
Look it up, Sean.
It's fact, Mick.
The problem was he never turned Wolves down, and he said he didn't.
He did. So what do you say, Mick? He's the one that called Wolves last week to say I'm ready now.
Because he had a problem with his father.
Yeah, which has been, Mick. We're talking about Wolves here, right? Okay.
Yeah, so I know we are.
I mean, you can't even accept that as a fact. He turned us down 6 weeks ago.
No,
it's a fact, Mick. You can't dispute a fact.
If it took five weeks to get a top quality coach in there, I'm prepared to do that, and I think the club should be, and not end up with a fucking donkey.
Well, Mick, as the weeks have gone by, the job he would have had 6 weeks ago, where we were hovering around 17th, 18th. Now we're 4 points adrift. He's coming in. If he's going to buy players, all right. I was hoping we'd have other things to talk about before we get into this, but seeing how we're there now, thanks, Mick. I mean, you're talking about being halfway through the season because he's not going to get anyone before Everton. He's not going to get anyone before United. He's not going to get anyone before the Villa game comes in the first week of January. You have the FA Cup after that. So we're in the second half of the season and he's going to have...
Tony.
How many points is he going to have to make up?
Tony, it was the stretch of the Brentford, Palace and Brighton game when we had to get a manager. If we accumulate 6 points in them games, all of a sudden, it's that close that we're kind of mid-table and we have no issues or worries. The fact is, we drew one of those games.
Yeah. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. What should have happened, he should have been fucked out at the back end of last season.
Mick, we're not going down that road. It didn't happen. We're talking about the situation now. Yeah, that's the situation now.
He should have been fucked out.
He's gone.
We're in this mess because of him. This mess has been created by the previous manager. Nobody else. It's not Davies' problem.
You can't say that, Mick.
We've got a good manager in now.
You can't say it.
Why is it not Davies' problem? Why?
Well, yeah, because he's done what he's had to do. He didn't mind the players. He didn't know the fucking players before he got them. He's done a very decent job with them. We got a couple of points in the games. He got his plan. He's got actually a number of the lads back playing fucking football.
Mick, I
wouldn't agree with you at all.
And what about all the young fellas he brought in?
We haven't won the games.
Who?
Like he can bring points.
We need points. We need points, Mick.
We won the Forest.
Jesus. It,
you know, we Mick, drew the Forest
game.
Brentford.
The Forest game was.
City the weekend.
Forest game was an awful game.
Huh?
We should have. We had the Palace game won. We should have won the Palace game. We didn't win the Palace game. We should have done better against Brighton.
We played and beat Southampton at home under the other fella. And that was a cruel game. It could have went either way.
Yeah. But I mean, we didn't get presented fucking gifts by VAR either, Mick. Against Forest.
The state we're in at the moment is from the previous fucking manager.
Nah.
Nobody else.
Mick, it's probably the one before him again. You know?
No, it's the
how far back
manager.
Do you want to go? Maybe McCarthy. Maybe it was McCarthy, was it?
No, Tony, don't be fucking clever, Dick here. I told you last May, that man hadn't a fucking clue. I told you what would happen if he stayed with him. We did it. And that's a mistake Fosa made.
Mick,
they should have fucking left him.
Mick, I leave it last March. You were looking at fourth place, all right? The wheels fell off, and things didn't happen.
You were talking about it.
Anyway,
no.
Look. Time is going to get us. A couple of other things I wanted to talk about, but anyway, we'll talk about them next week. All right, lads. Thanks for all the chat this evening. The other lively discussion. I'll talk again next week. Hopefully, we'll be joined up to start the World Cup by then.
Yeah, well,
right.
We won't be talking about a Wolves loss
either.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. I'll see you. Good luck. Take care, lads. I'll see you at the meeting on Saturday. By the way, if any of you're going to be there, yeah. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.